It's Thursday and time to read from some of your emails.
And we don't want to rub salt in the wounds of Trojan fans, but we got a few letters about our preview of the Rose Bowl game. In it, we said that USC was going for its third straight national championship.
Well, that didn't sit too well with some of our listeners. Chris Lavak of Austin, Texas, felt we could have been more accurate. He writes, 2 years ago, USC fell on the short end of the BCS selection process and missed out on playing in the national championship game, which was between LSU and Oklahoma. While USC was a great team in 2003, and many felt they were robbed, the fact is LSU was the BCS champion, and USC got named co-champion by way of the AP poll.
Also by way of correction, in a story about the potential sale of the Knight Ridder newspaper company, NPR incorrectly reported that Rebecca Rimel, CEO of the Pew Charitable Trust, said Pew was considering whether to try to bid for the Philadelphia Inquirer. In fact, Rimel says Pew intends to serve as a catalyst for Philadelphia civic leaders to help ensure any new ownership for the Inquirer would best serve its readers.
Last week, we learned that the Berghoff, a landmark restaurant in Chicago, would be closing its doors this February. And I spoke with Mike Santiago, who's worked at the Berghoff for 50 years. Diane Carlson of Monroe, Washington, shares Santiago's sadness about the news, and she shares this memory.
I was taken to Berghoff's for lunch in the early 60s, she writes. I was a young girl visiting the big city from Iowa. My mom's German immigrant cousin, Erna, took me there as a special treat. I ordered my favorite dish, potato pancakes. They were wonderful and were served by a brusque, stout, German-speaking waiter in a white starched apron. Thank you, Berghoff's, for the memory.
A number of listeners sent comments about our coverage of the mine tragedy in West Virginia, among them Don Gibson of Arlington Heights, Illinois. He writes, "Thank you for reading the obituaries of the 12 miners who lost their lives. While miners are important, the term miner doesn't mean half as much as the individual names. Your reading touched me in a way that other news stories have not."
We also got a suggestion from Ron Day of Pineville, Kentucky. This week's coal mine explosion in West Virginia has reminded him of the song West Virginia Mine Disaster by Gene Ritchie.
It was just before 12 I was feeding the children. Ben Mosley came running to bring us the news. Number 8 is all flooded, many men are in danger. And we don't know their number, but we fear they're all doomed.
I spoke with Jean Ritchie today about the song. She says she wrote it after the Hominy Falls mine disaster in May of 1968. 25 miners were trapped in the mine after it flooded. Remarkably, all but 4 were rescued. 15 were rescued after 5 days. And after 10 days, searchers found 6 more miners alive. Became known as the Miracle of Hominy Falls. Singer Jean Ritchie is from Kentucky. 2 of her brothers worked in the mines. And the Hominy Falls disaster got her thinking about the women's role. Back in 1968, she says it was to stay home and fix the dinner bucket. And when the coal mine whistle blew at the wrong time, you rushed to the mine to see what the matter was.
Now what can I say to his poor little children? Or what can I tell his old mother at home? Or what can I say to my heart that's clear broken? To my heart that's clear broken if my darling is gone? Say, did you see him going so early this morning? He walked by your houses on his way to the coal. He was tall, he was slender, and his dark eyes so tender. His occupation was mining, West Virginia, his home.
The song West Virginia Mine Disaster by Jean Ritchie.
You can send us your thoughts by going to our website, npr.org, and clicking on the Contact Us button at the top of the page.